You're listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with Emmy Award-winning composer Dustin O'Halloran. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
It started as a dance piece with choreographer, dancer Fukiko Takase. And we had met when I was doing a dance piece with Wayne McGregor with another project that I do called A Winged Victory for the Sullen. We did a piece called Atomos. And Fukiko was one of Wayne's principal dancers, and I just loved how she was able to express in movement. It was a very profound experience to realize how connected music is to dance and this sense of communication without words and how it gets elevated when you bring dance and movement into music. So eventually I decided to work on it as a record and sort of create an album experience out of it. It's broken up into four movements, and it's meant to be a kind of journey. It's meant to be something that you can listen to from beginning to end and experience it as a whole, which was my hope. It's a crossroads between knowledge and wisdom. And I think that wisdom for me is so connected to nature and the information that we get from nature. We ultimately are part of the natural world. And the knowledge of knowing things and facts and these kind of bits of information doesn't necessarily mean that we are going in the right direction and we know things. And I think when all of a sudden music and art started to come out, it was a wake-up call to what is our purpose and like what are we bringing to humanity, to the human story. And I think it's interesting because a lot of artists now are concerned about it, but I think, you know, what are we? What is the value of our consciousness? And consciousness, it's been something that I've been reading about. It's a vastly understudied part of science, and it's going to become very relative very quickly. And I think that it's getting to the core of creativity. What is creativity? And ultimately, where do we want to go? How are we going to connect with each other? People want human stories and people want to connect. And I think that it's such a powerful thing. And it's moving so quickly. And just in the short time in my lifespan, it's happened. And my generation is the last generation to remember a world without internet and what that was like. And what did we do with our time? Maybe it's not so conscious in the moment, but I've moved into so many places in so many countries in my life so far. And each one is very distinct.
My father had a scuba dive business in Kauai. So I grew up scuba diving since I was about 8 years old. And that was a pretty big impact on just my early years of experiencing nature and especially being under the water and the way sound moves underwater. Sound waves move much faster in water. So whenever you hear something, it sounds like it's all around you. And I've been lucky enough to hear whales sing and dolphins. So that was a great way to grow up and experience this whole part of the natural world that most people don't get to. Nature that I think is most profound is that it's always truthful. And I think that that's something that always resonates with me. Whenever I'm in raw nature, there's just an undeniable truth and a sense of how it's supposed to be. And I think that that's something that I reach for in my own music and where I try to take myself out of my own single being, out of it, and try to be in touch with all of it. And I think that that's just something that's so resonating in nature, of a sense of wholeness and connectedness. When I'm writing music, I don't think I'm ever specifically trying to capture any of these moments specifically. I think it's just the way your mind works when you're in nature and the way you're able to hear yourself and be at peace, really. So there's always this very strong connection to creativity in nature for me.
But I've moved into so many places in so many countries in my life so far, and each one is very distinct. There's a sensibility with the culture, especially the food that's around you, the people, just the climate also, I think, has a big effect. People always ask me why there's so much great music and art in Iceland, and I think a big part of it is these months of darkness that you experience, and you're sort of forced to create an inner world that's big if you want to feel good here. Creativity is the core of consciousness, and you know, it's such an important part to understand that the relationship to ourselves and where do those sparks come from. There's a kind of global, a universal consciousness of creativity. I think in our best moments is when we find silence, and those are the moments where we're able to tune in to grabbing these ideas that are bigger than us. And I think that's, I always find that those are the moments where you really connect with other people, because I think people internally feel that universal connection. And then after that, then I'll get it into some sort of transcription or for other players. That's why I love the piano, because you can do so much with it and you can explore so many ideas and even think about other instruments. But it's purely analog. It's just you and the instrument. But it's always born through some kind of improvisation and just trying to find those moments where you're in tune. I just finished my first solo piano record. And it was a record that I really didn't plan to release. It was something that I was just recording for myself. And I wasn't feeling incredibly confident about the recording or the performance, but there was an atmosphere there. And the label that I was on at the time, Belly Union, it's a British label, he really wanted to release it. And so we put it out there. And that's when I got in contact with Sophia.
That's Sophia Coppola.
And there was the first piece is this counterpoint piece that has a bit of a counterpoint Bach-ish vibes. And I think they probably weren't sure that I, you know, if I was a living composer. But then her music supervisor got in touch with me and I ended up writing a lot of music. And that sort of started the whole second record, the volume two, which I was just writing in Italy on this old upright for many months, and I ended up with much more material than they needed, because in the end they used three pieces of music, and she basically gets music before she finishes the edit, and so she really edits to the music. So while they were filming, she had sent me a kind of a mood book of photographs and ideas, and she was looking for the innocence of Marie, these sort of early parts of her character, and I was exploring that. It was a really nice film to be a part of. I think that's when magic things happen, is when you write a piece of music and then it just hits moments that no one is even recognized, and it pulls something magical out. That's actually my favorite way to work, is having a piece of music sits in a picture and it just pulls something out that neither me or the director expected. Lion, when we got involved, there was a pretty early cut. So that was a really different experience, because it was a bit of both. It was trying to get into the picture and what would really work with the scenes. But also I had to sometimes just put it away and just really get to the heart of the film too, because there was a big overarching feeling to the film, the feeling of home and the feeling of being connected to your mother and this cosmic connection that was calling him to find her. So there was moments of getting into really taking these bits that we'd been working on outside of looking at the picture and then making them work inside the picture, which is a lot of work. It's actually hard to kind of take something and then you have to fit it into a box, because film is a bit of a box. It has limitations and there's time. It has to hit marks in time, which when you're making music for yourself, you don't have to worry about that. I think that Ammonite was a really nice film. There's very minimal music in that film, but he wanted us to, the original idea was to create one piece of music that would have variations through the whole story and then come together at the very end. But I wrote this piece of music without picture at all. And it was one of those pieces that just sort of created some magic with the picture. That's the special part of music, is that it connects on so many levels, and especially instrumental music, it's so international and universal. And I think it connects the mind and the body in a very special way. When you're creating art, you can't really think about what it's going to bring to you or the glamorization of it. I think it's a path that can inhibit real connection. Vulnerability, ultimately, we are all vulnerable. For me, I think that it's ultimately going to be, you know, where we're talking about knowledge and wisdom, is we're coming to the crux of what is consciousness and what does it mean to be human and what does it mean to be creative? How do we connect with each other? How are we connecting? Music has the power to create a strong sense of empathy. And I think that's probably what we need more of. Music has the power to create a strong sense of empathy. And I think that's probably what we need more of. Music can really help foster. you know, music is a universal language. And I think that there needs to be a point in time when we need to recognize that we're all living on this tiny planet, which is a speck of dust in the universe. And we need to feel that. That's what I hope.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these highlights. To listen to the latest episodes or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.